Okay.
So we saw the Mishnah last time. The first line of the Mishnah said, "Rav Gamliel Omer, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, mispalel adam shmoyne esra." Every day a person davens 18 brachas, and Rabbi Shua said, "It's me'ein yud ches." Me'ein yud ches means it's not quite 18; it's similar to 18, which we'll see later on, maybe even today, what exactly that means. Says the Gemara. We saw the Mishnah last time. Let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Hani Yud Ches. Hani Yud Ches Keneged Mi. These 18 brachas, what exactly does the number 18 represent? Keneged Mi. Now, it's an interesting question. It's an interesting question because who said the 18 corresponds to anything at all? Maybe they designed a tefillah and it came out. These are the number of brachas you have to say. We have to say one on Atah Kodesh, and one on Yerushalayim, and one on Refuah, one on Moedim. They finished when they'd finished, and then it came out to 18. Who said that they first came up with a number and then came up with the brachas? I would have thought the other way around. They came up with the brachas, and whatever the number emerged, it emerged. It would seem to be from the Gemara, no, there's inherent significance in the actual number. That's what the Gemara is saying. What is that significance of the number 18? So we have different answers. Says the Gemara, Omar of Hillel, Breder of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Keneged Yud Ches Azkorois, She Omar David. It's Keneged, the 18 mentions of Hashem's name that David said in the Perek of Tehillim, Havu Lashem B'nei Eilim, says Rashi. Havu Lashem b'nei Eilim, Shehu remez la'ovois v'gvurois v'kedushas Hashem, as we're going to maybe see later. It's in Rosh Hashanah, Kedomino b'Rosh Hashanah, Minayin sh'omrim avois, Tamalim ha'havu Lashem b'nei Eilim. A lot of the text of the brachos are actually learned from this particular perek in Tehillim. And if you look in this perek of Tehillim, how many times they say Hashem's name? 18. 18 times in that Perek Tehillim, Perek Chof Tes, which is, of course, the Perek that we say just before the Chodedi on Friday night. Therefore, the 18 number of brachas takes its number from this Perek, Havul Hashem B'nei Eilim, and it says 18 times the name of Hashem. That's why we have 18 brachas. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Yosef Omar, Rabbi Yosef says, no, it doesn't come from there, but rather it comes from Keneged Yud Ches Azkorois Shebekriya Shema. If you look carefully in Kriya Shema, you'll see the name of Hashem there mentioned 18 times. So that is the significance of the number 18. The third opinion is Omer Rav Tanchum, Omer Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Keneged Shmoyne Esrei Chulios Shebeshidra. It is actually corresponding with the 18 links. Chulio is a link. The 18 links in the spine. The person has this spinal cord made up of links, various different links of bones. There are altogether 18 of them, and it's Keneged those 18. It's interesting to note, on the Thursday night Parashat Shir, we discussed the Posuk, which is repeated several times in Parashas Pekudei, which is Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, as Hashem instructed Moshe, and that pasuk is written 18 times. Some of the Mefarshim point out that connects, that is correspondent to the 18 brachas in the Shmoyne Esra. Either way, the number 18 can't merely be arbitrary. The fact that the name of Hashem is mentioned 18 times in a particular perek would, of course, not be reason to institute 18 brachas unless that particular perek was connected to davening. So Havul Hashem B'nei Eilim, the whole perek there talks about the praise and the koyach of Hashem, as Rashi already points out, that we actually derive a lot of the text of the Shmoyne Esra brachas from that perek. So therefore, of course, it's highly appropriate. The number 18 that appears there is in fact the number of brachas that we say in Shmoyne Esra. We can also understand that the 18 times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in Kriya Shema, that is also of significance. That's not just an arbitrary number. Kriya Shema is, of course, when we accept upon ourselves Oil Malchus Shamayim, we accept the dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is precisely the reason that we're davening to him. What about the 18 links in the spine? Why are the 18 links in the spine, why is that a significant number and a reason to institute 18 brachas in Shemoneh Esrei? So the answer must be, l'chayra, and we'll see it shortly, this will be discussed a little bit, is because when a person davens, the spine takes very much central stage. He's either standing, so the spine is erect, or he's bowing, so therefore the spine is, as it were, bent over. So the spine represents the centrality of a person, that is, keeps him upright, enables him to bend down and lean or bow, and that's crucial in the Shemoneh Esrei. Therefore the number of links in the spine is significant with regard to the number of brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. Now, says the Gemara, V'omar Rav Tanchum Omar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Why does it say V'omar with a Vav? Because this is now his second statement. The first statement was to suggest the significance of the number 18. But now he tells you a different halach. Hamispalel Tzorech Sheyichra. When a person davens and bows, he has to bow such Ad Sheyispakaku Kol Chulios. What does it mean, Ad Sheyispakaku Kol Chulios? Until all of the links are bulging, as it were. Says Rashi, Sheyiru HaPakakim, which are Heim HaKshorim. Kesher is the word tie, or the link. Kamoisha Shanino, Gemara Bava Basra, Bekonim, Bekfanim, Min HaPakak, Shalamala, V'hu HaKesher, Shechalal, HaKonim, Pokuk, V'sosum, Shom. If you look in that Gemara, it uses this word. So when a person bows, we're being told clearly over here exactly how he must bow. If he only bows in a very minimal way, that's not considered to have bowed down. How much so? Achi yispakaku kol chulios, until the link between each of, I think it's called the vertebrae, is that the correct terminology? The link between each of the vertebrae is visible. Such that if you're standing up, obviously the link between each one of the chulios is not visible. When you bend over and you bow down, it will become visible. So at that point, you know that you have bowed down the correct amount. But if it's less than that, then you have not bowed down the sufficient amount. So again, Hamispalel Tzorech Sheyichra, Ad Sheyispakaku Kol Chulios, all the links of Shidra that are in the spine. Ula Omar, Ula says that no, that's not the shir. Ad kedei sheyire, person has to bow down until the extent that he will see Isar. Isar is actually a name of a coin. Keneged liboy. What does that mean, keneged liboy? Rather than looking at the back, at the vertebrae of the spine, one should look at the front. When one bows down, obviously the skin, the flesh in front of oneself, one's chest, abdomen, stomach, will begin to bulge. So it has to bulge to an extent that there's a piece of flesh visible, the width of a coin called the Isser. That's what the Gemara says. Ad kadei sheyira, you have to be able to see Isser, a bulge of flesh, the width of the Isser coin, keneged liboy, by his heart. Says Rashi, Isser, shnei kemotim, two folds. A kemet is a fold or a crease. Two folds, echod lamalo v'echod, echod milmato v'echod milmalo, or ke Isser roichav, basar b'emza, and the width of an Issa coin with flesh in the middle. So when a person bows, and as it were, his flesh begins to fold, so every bulging of flesh will obviously have a crease or a fold, as it were, just above and just below. At that point, when the skin is bulging to the extent that it has the width of a issa coin, that is considered to be bowing down. Rav Chanina Omer, no. Kivan shena'anea roishoi. The minute you have moved your head, shuv einoi sarech. You do not need to bow anymore. First amount seems to be the biggest in descending order. The second seems to be slightly less. And the third opinion, that of Rav Chanina, you merely need to nod your head, and after that, no more is required. Although, Omar Rava, Vahu de Metzayer Nafshe. That has to be that he feels a little bit of pain. It doesn't literally mean distress, but it's not necessarily comfortable to bow down. Then, Umechsi, then it really appears command the Korah as if he is bowing down. So merely to move your head a couple of millimeters forward, nobody, even Rav Chanina, didn't say that suffices. So Rava is explaining Rav Chanina's position. When Rav Chanina says you don't need to have the whole vertebrae showing or flesh bulging, it's enough just to bow the head, it has to be that it does cause some element of distress, not that the distress is important, but as the Gemara says, that way it really does appear that he's bowing. Whereas if you merely move your head a nominal amount, that does not look like you're bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rashi, the mitzair nafshai shehu nikar. Then it becomes recognizable shechofetz lichroya, that he really does want to bow down, elashu mitzair, but it causes pain. Remember, the real way to bow down is not just to move your head forward. It's more similar to what we do, for example, in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which itself, by the way, is actually also not completely bowing down. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, when they used to hear the Kohen Gadol say the Shem Hashem, they would literally go flat out, prostrated. So there's different ways of bowing down. And of course, the bowing always represents the hisbatlus, the total subservient feeling that we have towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm flat out, completely given over to His will. I submit myself totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So merely to do a little nod of the head doesn't really do much. It has to be to the extent that it clearly is shown, but essentially I'd keep on bowing further and further down. It's just it's uncomfortable to do. That way it does look like the person is indeed bowing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, Hani Tamani Sri? Question mark. Tamani is 8, Sri is 10. Is this really 18? What did you mean when you said that there's 18 brachas? It's really 18? Surely Tishai Sri Havin. It's not 18, it's 19. We call it the Shmoneh Esra, but we all know that there's not 18 brachas, as in fact 19 brachas. Why are we calling it the Shmoneh Esrei? We should call it the Tishai Esrei. Omer Rabbi Levi, Birkas Hatzadukim, the bracha that we know is called V'lamalshinim, which is against the Sadukim, the Sadducites. That was a later addition, B'yavne Tiknuha. They instituted that at a later stage in Yavne, as we're soon going to see. It was Shmuel HaKotan, who instituted that bracha, but initially that bracha was not part of the Shmoneh Esrei. It was a specific bracha later on with the development of the Tzedukim that we needed to institute a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should deal with them appropriately. But the reason why we call it Shmoneh Esrei is because initially that's how many brachas there were, only 18. Says the Gemara, one second. We discussed before that the number 18 is significant. Either Havu Lashem B'nei Elim, or Kriya Shema, or the Shmoneh Esrei Chulias in the Shidro. If you now add a bracha, you've lost that whole significance of 18. So you see again, quite clearly, the Gemara takes the number of 18 very seriously. so much so that the Gemara is querying that if you add another bracha, then you've lost your 18. The number 18 is not just arbitrary. There is deep meaning in the number of 18. And if you add a 19th, you've lost that whole meaning. And that's what the Gemara asks. Keneged mi tiknua? Which does this correspond to? Now that you've gone up from 18 to 19, what does that correspond to now? You've lost your 18. Omar Ablevi, Sriblevi explains. Let's go through the opinions one by one. La Rebbe Hillel Breder B'Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, that was the first opinion, who says that it's Keneged the 18 mentions of Hashem's name in the Perek of Avor Hashem B'nei Elim. So we can say that Keneged it corresponds to Keil HaKovoid Hirim. In that Perek, it does actually say the name of Hashem a 19th time. Although it doesn't say Hashem as in Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it does say Keil. And Keil is the name of Hashem. So therefore, essentially, we're still retaining that initial significance. We really are davening the exact amount of brachas as Hashem's name appears in Havul Hashem B'nei Elim. It's 18 times that it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, but there is a 19th mention when it says Keil HaKovod Hirim, so we've retained that meaning. That's opinion number one. Le Rabbi Yosef, according to Rabbi Yosef, who said it's with regard to the number of names, number of times Hashem's name is mentioned in Kriya Shema. So then, Echod Sheba Kriya Shema. When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, even though that itself is not strictly speaking a actual mention of Hashem's name, but it also refers specifically to Hashem's unity. And therefore, I think actually the word is omnipotence. And therefore, we can consider that a 19th mention of Hashem's name. So we've again managed to retain the significance of Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esra. Says the Gemara in conclusion, and the Rabbi Tarchum, Amar Beshua ben Levi, according to Rabbi Tarchum, that it all depends on, it corresponds to the number of vertebrae in the spine. So then, Keneged Chulia Ketana Shabashidra. There is actually a small vertebrae, which might not have been included in the initial list, but it does exist. So strictly speaking, there are actually 19 vertebrae in the spine, if you include this small one as well. In which case, the Gemara has incredibly managed to retain all of the initial Ramazim, where you got the number 18 from, and they can all be upgraded to 19 without losing any of the initial meaning. Says Rashi, B'yavne tiknua la'achazman beruba, after much time, it wasn't included in the initial institution of 18 brachas. It was a much later addition, and that's why we still call it, until this very day, Shmoyna Esra. Now the Gemara teaches us a little bit more about the history of the institution of this 19th bracha. Tana Ravana. Shimon Hapakoili. Says Rashi, what does it mean, Hapakoili? Moicher Pikule Semer Geffen Shekoirim Cotton. He used to sell Semer Geffen is actually cotton wool. That's why we call it cotton. Shimon Hapakoili Histir Yud Ches Brochas. Lifnei Rabban Gamliel Al Haseda Beyavne. Shimon HaPakoili was Masader. He organized, in front of Rabbi Gamliel, in Yavne, the entire Seder of the Shemoneh Esra. Not to say that he was the one who designed the entire text, as we've mentioned in the Tfilavah the last couple of weeks. It was designed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, which included a number of Nevi'im. Every word was written up Yiruach HaKodesh. But he now, over here, decided on the Seder HaDvarim. Omar Lahem Rabbi Gamliel Lachachomim, Rabbi Gamliel said, Klum Yesh Odom, is there any man Sheyoidea Lesakein Birkas Hatzadukim? Is there anybody who knows how to institute another bracha. To coin another bracha is not just done at the drop of a hat. Every word has to be very carefully considered. Al pi ruach hakodesh. Those who are with us in the Tfilavad know that this corresponds to the cherev, not the keshes, which is my own individual tfilah, but the cherev, the spear. The spear is an inherently dangerous weapon. The mere wielding of it can inflict damage. It's very effective. So too over here, the actual nusach of the brachas is very effective. So we need to know who's able to coin another bracha, to compose another bracha, in which the words will be significant, every single one. Omad Shmuel HaKoton, so Shmuel the Minor. He was called so, Chazal tell us, because he was very modest. He stood up, V'tikno, and he instituted that 19th bracha, what we call the Lamashim. However, Lashono Acheres Shokcha. The next year he forgot it. Remember, as we mentioned once, there was no concept of a Siddur at the time. Everything was davened Baal Peh. So even though he was the one who created the bracha in the first place, but he forgot it sometime later. And he was davening, he was a Shliach Tzibur. Vehishkif bo shtayim v'sholoi shois. What does it mean, vehishkif, says Rashi? Choshav lizkoir oisa. He was trying to think, to recall the text of the bracha, and he was unable to. Loshen soicha, kutum in the karmino, v'yashkif v'istachi in Bereshis. Either way, even though he had initially composed the bracha, now he'd forgotten it, and much as he tried to recall it, he was unsuccessful. So there he was, the Shliach Tzibur, 2 or 3 hours trying to recall the bracha v'la malshinim, and he was unable to do so. And nonetheless, v'loi he'eluhu, they did not dismiss him from his position as Shliach Tzibur. Says the Gemara, why indeed not? Amai loy heluhu. Why did they not remove him from his post? Surely. V'omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, ta'o b'chol ha'brocha is kulon. Rav taught us that if any shliach tzibur makes a brocha, makes a mistake, in all of the brochas, okay, it can happen. Ein malin oisai. You do not remove him. Why? Because it could be made a mistake. But the Birkas HaTzadukim, Malin Oisoi. If anybody makes a mistake in the Bracha of Tzadukim, that is extremely disturbing. That's very alarming. And we remove him. Why do we remove him? Chayshino, because we have to be concerned. Shemo Nin, who maybe he's an Apikoiris. So when he seems not to be able to say the Bracha that talks about Apikorsim, Lamashinim. If he doesn't seem able to say that bracha correctly, then the alarm bells go, and maybe that indicates that he himself is one of them. So we remove him from his post. If that's the case, so why did they not remove Shmuel from his position? 2 or 3 hours, that's surely enough time to be given to try and recall the Nusach HaBracha. He was unsuccessful in doing so, so why was he not removed? In other words, why is there no concern that maybe he himself became an apikoiris? Says the Gemara, no. Shani Shmuel HaKotan. Shmuel HaKotan is obviously different. De'ihu Tikna. Because he was the one who instituted this whole bracha in the first place. So if he instituted the bracha in this first place, you can't possibly say that he is a suspect apikoros when he was the one who coined the whole bracha against the apikorosim in the first place. So there's obviously no grounds for concern that he is a min when he is in fact the one who composed the bracha against the minim. Says the Gemara, why not? V'nechosh. Why would we not have to be concerned? Dilma Hodar Bey. Maybe he recanted, he retracted. We've heard this before, as the Gemara is about to bring examples. Even though, obviously, clearly he was a very big tzaddik in the beginning, but who's to say he remained that way his whole life? So what type of answer is that? That because he designed the bracha in the first place, so it cannot possibly be that he's an apikoros. Why? Maybe he became one afterwards. Omar Abaya, no, it can't be. Abaya says, Gemiri, we have learned, Tava loy have a bisha. Somebody who is toiv, he's good, he's righteous, cannot become bisha, cannot become evil. If a person's a tzaddik, he will not become a rosha. So therefore, if Shmuel HaKotan was initially a tzaddik, and he clearly was, then it cannot be that at a later stage he became a rosha, and there is no grounds for concern whatsoever that he slipped up in this bracha because he became an apikoros. That cannot be. Cannot be. Says the Gemara, why can't it be? Veloy? Question mark. Can that not be? It cannot be that somebody who was initially a tzaddik became a rosha. Vaksiv. We have a pasuk in Yecheskel which says, Ubashuv tzaddik mitzidkosoi. When the tzaddik shuv returns, retracts from his righteousness, va'asa ovel, and does iniquities and does averas. So we clearly have a pasuk that describes this very phenomenon of a tzaddik becoming a rasha. So how can you issue now this sweeping generalization? A tzaddik cannot become a rasha. Who's to say that's true? We have a pasuk that seems to indicate the exact opposite, that a tzaddik can become a rasha. Says the Gemara, no, that particular pasuk, kahu, that pasuk is talking about rasha meikaroi, somebody who is initially evil. He became a tzaddik, but he didn't begin a tzaddik. He was initially stage one a rasha, he then became a tzaddik. That is true, that he might retract and become a rosha once again. That type of tzaddik can indeed revert back to his initial wickedness. However, says the Gemara, Avol, tzaddik meikaroi, but somebody who is righteous from the outset, loy, not so. So, according to the Gemara at this stage, if we were to be asked, can a tzaddik ever become a rosha? And the answer is, it depends. If he's a tzaddik meikaroi from the beginning, then no, apparently. If he's a rosha and then he became a tzaddik afterwards, then there does exist a concern that he might retract and go back to his evil ways once again. So at this stage of the game, we don't really understand. We're stuck with regards to... we're good. We're good with regard to Shmuel. Shmuel was a tzaddik meikaroi. He didn't chas v'sholom begin as a rosha. He was a tzaddik. And therefore, there is no concern whatsoever that at a later stage he became a rosha. So why indeed did he slip up in the bracha of ala tzaddikim? Because he forgot. Can happen. So with regard to other people, it's too disturbing. We would have to be concerned that maybe he isn't saying the words right because maybe he identifies with these apikorosim. Not so in the case of Shmuel. He was a tzaddik, he was always a tzaddik meikoroi, and a tzaddik like that can never become a rosh. Says the Gemara, we're not out of it yet. Veloy! Really? Somebody who is initially a tzaddik cannot become a rosha? There's some type of guarantee that he'll never become a rosha? V'hotanan, we have learned in a Mishnah. It says a very frightening thing, a Mishnah Ovis. Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yoim moischa. Do not believe in yourself until your day of death. Why? Shehare Yochanan kohen gadol. Yochanan was a kohen gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. Sheshimesh b'kohuna gedolah. He was a Kohen Gadol for Shmoinim Shana. Shemesh means he served. He served as a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. Ula b'soif nase tzeduki. And after all of those 80 years of having served in the Beis HaMikdash, of having entered the Kodesh Kodshim, it's quite incredible to hear that he became a tzeduki at the end. Now, was Yochanan Kohen Gadol a Rasha Me'ikarai or a Tzadik Me'ikarai? If he was a Rasha Me'ikarai, then we're okay, because this doesn't disprove our theory. Even though he became a Rasha again, the Seder, because he was a Rasha initially as well. But if Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a Tzadik Me'ikarai, then we're stuck, because then now we have managed to prove that even somebody who is a tzaddik me'ikaroi can still become a rasha. So maybe that's what's happened to Shmuel. So we'll see, there's a machlokes. Says the Gemara, Va'omar Abaya, hu Yanai, hu Yochanan. Abaya tells us that Yochanan Kohen Gadol is in fact Yanai. Who is Yanai? Yanai was the Melech, and he killed many Chachmei Yisrael, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin. Rava Omar, that no, they're two separate people. Yanai Lechud, the Yochanan Lechud. Yanai stands separately, the Yochanan stands separately, they're two different people. Yanai was a Rosh Me'ikarei, that's true. But Yochanan was a Tzadik Me'ikarei. So now, one second. Everybody agrees that Yanai was a Rosh Me'ikarei. He killed all the Chachmei Yisrael. He was definitely a Rosh Me'ikarei. So now, if Yochanan Kohen Gadol is in fact Yanai, so then we're okay. Why are we okay? Because it turns out that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was initially a Rasha. So the fact that he became a Rasha once again at the end of his life does not disprove our theory. It could still be true that somebody who was a Tzadik Me'ikarai can never become a Rasha. But if you tell me that Yochanan Kohen Gadol is not Yanai, and Yochanan Kohen Gadol was in fact a Tzadik Me'ikarai, well then we're in trouble. Because now we see that even somebody who was a tzaddik meikaroi can still become a Rasha. That's what the Gemara says now. Ha nicha, it's all fine and well. La Abaya, according to Abaya, it's okay. Because according to Abaya, that was the first opinion. He tells me that Yochanan and Yanai is the same person. And now he was a Rasha meikaroi, so he went off the derech at the end. We can understand that. Ela la Rava. Kasha. But according to Rava, it's very difficult. If Rava maintains that Yochanan was a tzaddik me'ikaroi, and he's nothing to do with Yanai, Yanai is an altogether different person. So if I see that Yochanan was a tzaddik me'ikaroi, 80 consecutive years he went to the Beis HaMikdash as a Kohen Gadol and still became a Rasha, so I see that what? So there is no guarantee whatsoever. Even if somebody is initially a tzaddik, he can become a rasha. In which case, we're in trouble again. Maybe, just maybe, that's what happened to Shmuel. Even though Shmuel was definitely a tzaddik me'ikaroi, he was the one who instituted the bracha against the tzaddukim. But maybe, just like Yochanan Kohen Gadol, maybe he became a rasha at the end. So therefore, when he slipped up in the bracha of Lamalshinim, why did we not remove him from his post? Says Rashi, second line at the top, Rosh Me'ikaroi, if somebody was initially wicked, Veshav Me'rishosai, and he returned from his wickedness, Pa'omim Shechoyza V'naaseh Rasha, then indeed, on occasion, he can become a Rasha once again. Hu Yanai, Sheshaninu B'Kiddushin, we've learned in Kiddushin, Shehorag Chachmei Yisrael, and Yanai was a Rosh Me'ikarei, V'naaseh Tzadik. He became a Tzadik. But that wasn't stage one, that was stage two. Therefore, afterwards, v'choza l'rishasai, he then reverted back to his evil ways. Fine, we can understand that. That makes sense. But if you tell me that Yoichanan Kohen Gadol is a separate person, and he was a tzaddik me'ikaroi, so you see that even if somebody is a tzaddik me'ikaroi, he can also go off the derech. In which case, we're stuck with regard to Shmuel. So we'll need to clock out, and we'll come back, and we'll see how the Gemara answers this question.
Jan,
yeah.
Can I ask you a big favor?
Yeah.